So, and before I read our text, which is verses 18b through the end of the chapter 23, let me read another passage, another prayer of Paul's that is very similar in content that he writes to the Colossian church. So we'll read first Colossians 1. We'll be reading just verses 3 through 12. And notice again, as we read this, that Paul is talking about the might or the strength of God for us. So let's pay attention to the reading of God's Word from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also to all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now let us then turn to Ephesians. And again, if you remember in chapter 1, Paul says very much the same things to the Ephesian church and prays very much the same things. And we want to look at that prayer again this morning. We're looking at the second half of it, starting at the second half of verse 18. And we'll be reading from verse 11 of chapter 1 through the end of the chapter. So hear this word of the Lord, Ephesians 1, starting at verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, that is in Christ, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only to this age, in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And thus far in this reading of God's inspired word, and may it be a blessing to all of us who have heard it here this morning. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have you ever had the power go out in your house? Maybe lightning knocked out a transformer, or there was an overload in the circuit. Whatever the reason, all that power generated by the power plant was ineffective in your house. It didn't get the job done. What if you're out hunting and you miss your shot trying to put meat on the table? You come home empty-handed because the power of your rifle was misdirected. Did you ever try to move a really heavy object? You know, you're straining with all your might and you couldn't budge it an inch. Your power was ineffective. Maybe you were too small. Maybe you were too weak. Maybe you're out of shape. Maybe the object was so heavy. What were you thinking? Did you ever depend on your own strength to do what God commands only to fail? You see, glitches in the power supply, misdirection of power, weakness of power, all make power ineffective to get the job done. The only power that never has any glitches, the only power that's always powerful enough, the only power that is never misdirected is God's power. His power alone is always effective, always getting the job done, always accomplishing what God intends His power to do. Now, God's Word describes God as almighty, having all power, that means sovereign, that is, His power is above all power. And in our text, Ephesians 1, His power is described as exceedingly great or incomparably great, or we could say always effective. That's only true of God's power. And here's good news for us who are God's church. Since God purposed in eternity, that's what we read in the beginning of chapter 1 of Ephesians, since God purposed in eternity for us to be to the praise of His glory, He directs His effective power to that end. Meaning, you and I can live in the assurance, ought to live in the assurance of being God's workmanship. See, God wants us to know His exceeding great power is working in us to fulfill His purpose for us. And because it is God's power, His effective power that is working in us, God therefore calls us to live lives worthy of the calling to which God has called us in Christ. We read about that worthy life already in the Psalm this morning that we read, Psalm 34. And this living worthy lives, that's what Paul is leading up to in this letter. That's the application he makes of these great truths starting later on, like in chapter 4. All because God's great power is at work in us. That's why we're called to live lives worthy of our calling from God. But if we are to have this truth, this great truth, God's power working in us, motivate the way that we live, we need to know it so that it illumines our minds, enlightens our minds, makes the light go off in our head, so to say. And that's what Paul, Christ's apostle, prays for. He's praying for us, the church. What?